You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Live streaming. Timely Friday is being brought to you this week by some awesome people from all over the world. Major Spoilers VIPs, Patreon members, they're the ones that are making this happen. You can show your support. Patreon.com/majorspoilers.com. Well, hello everyone. We have made it to the end of another week, and it's actually been a couple of weeks since we have since we've been together. Sorry about that. Some of you who've listened to the morning stream on Monday with Scott Johnson know why I was out of town. The rest of you who missed it, I've got a longer version of that story that will be appearing over on the Patreon page. Maybe this weekend. I'll see. But I got wrapped up with a little out-of-town soccer. My son is doing soccer. And that's all good because, you know, he one game scored 3 goals. They didn't win the tournament, but, you know, still good stuff. And I appreciate my son and everything that he does. And we are happy to be parents and support him by taking him out of town to do these crazy soccer tournaments. So, we are here back again this week. I know I've missed you too, but it's finally Friday, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. This show works best if you've never listened before. Maybe this is your first time checking in. This show works best when you call in and share your thoughts about things that have gone on over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to do that in just a moment. But you can get your phones fired up and ready to go at 785-727-1939, or if you are on Skype, you can call me at Steven_Schleicher. But before we get to that, hello to everyone that is in the YouTube chat area. Hello, all you awesome people. Hello to all people listening at work, on the road, on Alpha Geek Radio, Alpha Geek Video, Alpha Geek Media. Thank you guys for your support and putting the link up there. And before we open the phone lines, why don't we hit some news, some things that people are talking about this week. Let us kick some things off with this brand new Batman suit. It apparently has everybody upset in some way, shape, or form. Zack Snyder tweeted out the image on his Twitter feed, Zack Snyder, just the other day. He says, "Home stretch, last day filming Batman in the new tactical bat suit." Apparently a tactical bat suit means people are going to lose their stuff, because people certainly did, saying it's the worst costume ever, to why does this look like Owlman from The Watchmen, to why does this look like Nazi Batman from Earth 10 from Grant Morrison's run on stuff. I don't think it looks horrible. I mean, it's a bat suit, and Batman has a lot of Batman costume changes. If you look at any movie, he changes costumes a couple of times, and they're very subtle, and you don't always know it. And if you're going to get in a fight with someone, and we've seen some trailer, some sneak peek stuff from Ben Affleck a couple of weeks ago, looking at Deathstroke, it looks like they're about to throw down in this same location if you put this still image with the video that we saw a couple of weeks ago. So it's a tactical bat suit. It's just a costume. He's only a man. He's not impenetrable. He's going to need some protection. Plus, it makes him look bulky, even more bulky than before. So good on you, Batman. Sad news for Star Trek Discovery fans. If you were hoping to catch the new Star Trek series when it kicked off in January of 2017, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, as CBS has announced that they've pushed the launch date to this show back to May of 2017. So it's only 5 months. But in a press release sent from CBS executive producers Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller said, "We aim to dream big and deliver, and that means making sure the demands of physical and post-production for a show that takes place entirely in space and the need to meet the air date don't result in compromised quality. Before heading into production, we evaluated these realities with our partners at CBS, and they agreed Star Trek deserves the very best, and these extra few months will help us achieve a vision that we can all be proud of. CBS concurred with them, saying, hey, this just means that we don't have to worry about running into the new spring season and only have one episode of Star Trek on before we bump it over to that streaming service that we have that we're charging you $6.99 a month. Unless you want it ad-free, then it's $9.99 a month. But hey, you know, it's CBS and Star Trek. We go together, one and the same. That's maybe not necessarily an exact quote. Maybe paraphrased, maybe reading between the lines. But there you go. If you are a Batman fan, and who is it? Come on, who is not a Batman fan? And if you're a fan of the Batman animated series, there is a new game coming out from Cryptozoic that looks really cool. It's called Batman, the animated series, Almost Got Him card game. It's based on the poker game episode called Almost Got Him, where the villains are sitting around telling tales about how they almost got Batman. And what no one realizes that someone sitting at the table is secretly Batman in disguise. So the object of the game is, as you play your poker hands, you're trying to figure out who is the secret Batman at the table. If you figure it out, you get points, you win. If you don't, then I guess Batman gets you. I'm hoping somewhere along the line, someone has a rock and they throw it at you. Yeah. Finally today, this is where you start getting your phone lines dialed up. Cartoon Network has announced that the regular show will be ending at the end of Season 8. Season 8 kicks off in January 2017. Show creator J.G. Quintel says, making regular show has been so much fun. We got to tell all the stories we wanted to tell, and making the choice to go out exactly how we want to go out. We're so proud and excited for people to see how we're wrapping things up in a big, big way. We're bringing everything full circle. Now, there's no word on how many episodes are in the final season, at least not in the Cartoon Network press release. But there you go. There is some news from around the world of comic books and pop culture. And now it's time for you to call in 785-727-1939. Or Steven_Schleicher on Skype. If you got questions, whatever, you've got the chat room as well. If that is out there, I will try to keep an eye on it as we talk about things. So what is going on with you guys this week? Are you having fun? Are you relaxed? Are you looking forward to getting into the weekend? The weather should be starting to get cooler for a lot of you. I know it's gotten cooler here. It's got a little warmed up yesterday and today again, but beginning of the week was in the 60s, and I don't even know what the temperature is now. Oh, yeah, I do, because I've got this really cool clock that I built out of an Arduino and, a Raspberry Pi and a monitor, and I can tell exactly what time it is, what the temperature is, and what local radar looks like. 77 degrees out. It's a nice day. Not too humid, though. We got a little rain last night. Speaking of rain, for those of you who are Patreon and VIP members, make sure you head over to those sites. I recorded something. I got a pair of binaural microphones. And normally binaural microphones are super expensive because you have these microphones, these capsules, that are embedded inside of a foam rubber head. Because what a binaural microphone does is it is mimicking the way sound wraps around the face and goes into each ear and wraps around the ear, and how the cup of the ear prevents sounds coming in. And the idea is, if you record with these two microphones built into a head, you get some very cool surround sound experience. It's very awesome. And I found, unfortunately, these things have been super, super expensive forever. But I found a pair online that like $100. And I was like, there's no way I can pass this up. And what's neat about them is, instead of having a foam head that you embed the microphone into, you actually just put the microphones into your own ear. You wear them like a pair of earbuds, and then you can record, and it sounds fantastic. And I did a test where it was raining a couple of weeks ago, and I just sat out on the back porch while the thunderstorm rolls in and the rain happens. And if you close your eyes, it's super freaky surround sound stereo coming in, in a pair of earbuds or whatever that you may be using. Tweaked audio earbuds, whatever. Make sure you use that checkout code MAJOR to save 33% off. But it sounds awesome. So if you're a Patreon or VIP member, then you went to go and check that out. And apparently for Patreon, I didn't know that they had done this. I know a couple of weeks ago they had instituted tagging. So now all the posts can be tagged. So whenever I put something up that's Zach on Film related, it'll be a Zach on Film Tag. So if you go over to the Patreon page and you're looking for just bonus tracks of movies, you can click on bonus tracks and those will pop up. The other thing that apparently they have unlocked in the last couple of weeks is an RSS feed for subscribers. So if you are a Patreon member, you can now subscribe to every audio feed that's in your price range, you know, depending on where it's, who it's released to. You will be able to access that RSS feed and listen to those kinds of things. So very cool. Let's see. What are people saying in the, Tim Burton is awesome. And then there's an asterisk. And then later on down the page, it says Steven. So I'm guessing Tim Burton is awesome. Maybe you really mean Steven is awesome. Well, thank you. What are people saying about Batman? It says the 89 Batman did it quite well instead of tactical vest and tank top. Of course, the one thing about the 89 Batman was he was coated in a big old chunk of plastic. So, you know, it was a hard candy shell, as we saw in the Batman Begins and those kinds of things. They want it to be a little bit more flexible because that was the other problem with the Keaton Batman is he couldn't turn his head. He had to turn his whole body. So you do have to take that into account. Let us head over to the phone lines. Let's say hi to Jarmo. Hey, Jarmo, what's going on, man?
Hi, it's me. I think for the first time when I've properly set in into my new house.
Excellent.
Last time I called in the middle of boxes.
Right, so what's going on?
But yeah, regarding that Batman picture you just showed, that I'm not ready to judge anything based on one picture. For all that we know, it might be just one 2-minute scene with bat goggles on, just like some night vision or something.
Yeah, and exactly. They may slide like in. I mean, here's the thing, right? I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, some people are upset because you can't see his eyes. Well, if you think about it, in shows like Batman the Animated Series, in fact, any really superhero show, the minute they put on their mask, a lot of times their eyes just go all white. So I don't know why Batman going black in this is. And you're right, maybe he's doing some night vision goggles, or he's tapping in since it's tactical. Maybe he flips those down and he sees a Iron Man-esque readout on his on those lenses. Could be anything. Could be really cool.
Yeah, and in comics, when I think about it, you never see Batman's eyes. They are always white.
Right.
But that said, I'm really not a fan of the tactical military look of the superhero costumes in movies.
Why is that?
I'm not sure. I guess I just like them more out there. And it might be because I've actually served in the military.
Right, that's true.
Perhaps I got my my dose of that kind of stuff then.
Yeah, I can see that. But wouldn't you agree that if you are someone who is not impenetrable, having some kind of body armor on is to your advantage?
Yes, if we are going that way, it certainly makes sense to have a bulletproof vest and stuff like that. But very little makes sense in superhero movies.
Well, yeah, it's superhero movies, right? It's total fantasy. And that's what happens is you can go to crazy extremes and you can still have fun with it, right? I mean, we may roll our eyes, but I guarantee you that this tactical Batman suit is much better than anything George Clooney ever wore.
Sure. So I'm not arguing to that at all.
Cool. Well, thank you for your feedback on that. What else is going on with you?
I'm waiting for the post office to deliver me one rare action figure.
Ooh.
And I hope it's not stuck in the customs.
What rare action figure did you get?
It's actually Japanese pro wrestling thing. There are only 500 of them ever produced. And I got it pretty cheap, and I'm actually kind of stoked about it.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of a lot of fun. Hopefully, I'm trying to see if I can find my. Maybe if I spell my name right. Maybe you guys saw this on my Instagram feed this week, but here's a package that I got from our good friends at UPS. they dropped off this this crushed up package and ran off before I even had a chance to say hello to them. And fortunately, nothing inside was really damaged. But I mean, look at that. It looks literally looks like someone sat on it, crushed it in the middle. It's all bent up in a U shape.
Yep, it's one of those stories, right?
I mean, I couldn't believe that. I was just like, because normally I can make it from, and I think we have really two UPS drivers. There's a UPS driver that comes late afternoon who's really cool, and I know him, and he knows me. I mean, we don't know each other's names, but we know each other by sight. And there's a guy that comes in the morning that I think is a newer guy, and this is the package that came in the morning, and that guy parked out of sight from the house, so I couldn't see the car. Normally, when the UPS guy comes up and rings the doorbell and I'm downstairs, I can make it up to the door by the time he is reaching the van and is starting to get in, and I can say wave and say thank you and all that kind of stuff. I ran upstairs, and I wasn't even in my office. I was just literally at the bottom of the stairs cleaning up some stuff for a shoot we were doing. And I ran upstairs, and that guy was nowhere to be seen. So I have a feeling he dropped this package, rang the doorbell, and ran as fast as he could so he would not have to confront me on the nature of this package.
Yes, he definitely knew what's going on.
Yeah, which, I mean, this is not the first time that UPS has delivered something in this state. Long ago, when my wife and I were first married, she was surprising me. I think it was for our first anniversary or my birthday, the first year that we were married.
Oh, yeah, it's the life-size Batman.
Yeah, the life-size Batman statue. And I was out in the backyard working, and I hear this ka-kunk, ka-kunk, ka-kunk. And I didn't know that she had bought this. And I turn around, and there's the UPS man just taking these cartons, kicking them along, and in one case, turning one end over end and letting it fall flat. And he's looking at me, and he's like, oh, where did you want this? And I was like, well, you can just set them right there, and I'll take them in. And I didn't know what was in them. So he leaves. I take the boxes into the house, open them up, and this, 6-foot-tall, life-size Batman statue is just broken into pieces because of the way that he was treating that package. So I was really disappointed.
Yeah, and actually, we have the kind of thing where our UPS delivery boys always have to take a signature from the person they delivered the package to.
That is sometimes good and sometimes bad because
it can lead to problems if you are not at home time. And
yeah, I when I used to live in Atlanta, we would have to get packages delivered all the time, and they were always having to be signed for. And if you missed it, they would try the next day, and if you missed it again, then they took it back to the facility or sent it back to whoever sent the package to you. So there were times where I would have to leave work, go and wait for 3 hours to see if UPS even showed up, or miss them in the time that they said that they were going to show up. And then I would have to drive another hour to the UPS sorting facility to find the package and get it. So it can be very frustrating when you have to sign a package.
Yes. Most of the drivers actually call here before they leave it because it's much more convenient.
I've noticed that we have DHL, which is another delivery service. It's a little bit smaller than UPS and FedEx.
Yes, it's a German one. We use that here in Europe a lot.
Oh, okay, good. But they always call. They call and say, hey, we've got a package. We're going to be in your area about 11 o'clock. Are you going to be around to pick this up? And of course, I'm usually here, and I'll say yes. And sure enough, they show up right at 11 o'clock or a few minutes before, and they'll call and say, we're going to be there in 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm waiting for you. And sure enough, they're right there. So I kind of like DHL, but they're not as prevalent here, at least in Western Kansas, which is why I think they're driving out of Salina or Topeka or Wichita to deliver.
Yes, I can imagine that because they are not quite as big as UPS. So.
Yeah. Now, I did have a very nice Federal Express experience this week. I had gone into the Verizon store to see about upgrading my phone to see if I had qualified for that. And as I was there talking to the woman, FedEx pulled up. FedEx delivery person comes in to drop off a package, and she looks at me and she goes, don't you live over at such and such a street? And I was like, yes. And she's like, I've got a couple of packages that you need to sign for. Do you want me to, just sign them here and I can just put them in your car for you? And it's like, wow, going from UPS horrible experience to FedEx wonderful experience is really a night and day example of customer service in the delivery industry, especially for someone like you who's waiting for this super rare action figure. If it comes like the my box all smashed up and you've spent lots of money and stuff and the delivery guy just takes off, that's horrible. That would be a horrible experience.
And actually, I was a little bit worried because it didn't move from the customs like in 3 days after I had paid the tax and things like that. But now it seems that everything is okay because if they lose it, I'm not certain at all that it can even be replaced.
Right, right. That's when they busted that Batman statue, we were worried that, you know, we were never going to get it replaced, but the guy happened to have an extra one. And he's like, well, I just won't sell this one and we'll just switch it out and I'll go through UPS insurance and get my claim started. So it worked out for us. But I know in some cases when it's something super rare like that, man, but you also don't want to spend, you know, three times the cost of what the thing is to have it shipped by some private carrier.
Yes, I know. It's like registered airmail, but not the kind of thing that I think the insurance is like up to $300, which is less than its actual value is. And 500 of those, I'm not certain the seller could actually find a replacement, even if something happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing is if you can get a basic insurance on anything you ship, do it. If you can get tracking and delivery confirmation, do it. Because I was selling some stuff on eBay last year about this time, and somebody had bought some camera gear, and it had shipped, and I didn't keep a tracking number or anything, because I was just like, well, everything else I've shipped has arrived. About 30 days later, I get an email, I get a statement from eBay saying, hey, this person is claiming that they never got the equipment, they want their money back, all this stuff. Unless you can prove that this is it, we're going to return the money to them. I was like freaking out going, oh, great. I did not, you know, get a tracking number on this.
Yeah, that's really a problem.
I know, right? So I frantically called up the post office because I knew that they had the number and everything. And I told them what day I'd ship the package and everything. And the guy's looking and he's like, well, to be honest with you, if it's 30 days through the post office, we don't keep anything past 30 days. It all goes away. And so what I think was happening was that this person who was buying on eBay was doing a scam in that they claim that it wasn't delivered in 30 days. They get their money back. And if you don't have that tracking number, you have no way to prove it. And I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, please look. And if you can find it, I was telling the postal guys, if you can find this, I would be really grateful. He called back an hour later and he's like, you know what? It was 29 days ago exactly that you sent this. So one more day and we wouldn't have been able to track this down. And so I guess the person who was trying to pull the scam didn't realize it and had their numbers messed up, because the minute I said, here's the tracking number, here's the address it was delivered to, and here's the person who signed it, that thing went away within about 30 seconds of posting that on eBay.
So. Yes, that's a good thing, because I have actually been on the receiving side once from when the package just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had any information about it. I called my local post office. I didn't have a tracking number. Of course, they couldn't help at all because I'm a private person and not a business like that.
Right.
They really didn't even put much effort in it because it wasn't that expensive, on like 30, 40 euros and stuff like that. The person I contacted said that please don't escalate this to eBay buyer program thing, because I paid through PayPal and I knew I can get my money back if needed to.
But
I waited like extra 10 days, nothing happened, and well, we got to agreement. It wasn't that real thing. The seller sent a replacement and everything went okay.
Excellent. Well, I hope you get your figure.
I'm pretty sure I do. Last thing I saw, it had moved from the customs to town near me, like halfway through. I'm pretty sure I'll get it in Monday.
Excellent. All right. Well, get a picture and send it to us.
All right. It's not really that impressive, but
well, you never know. It may be impressive if it's important and exciting to you, then maybe it's important and exciting to others.
Yeah, it's that thing itself is, it's pretty basic action figure, but only 500 of them. I'm a big fan of the guy who is from that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Jarmo, well, have a great weekend. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot, right, Steven.
See you. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
So I went to Hastings last night. Some of you may have heard this, a little bit of the story already, if you listen to Dueling Review, again, another podcast that Matthew and I do. But I was talking about going to Hastings last night, and I guess one of the nice things about Hastings finally closing is my impulse buys are going to go down, because there were times where I'd just be like kind of bored. I'm like, eh, let's go over to Hastings, see if there's something to find. And I always find something that clutters up this house of mine. See? But their statues and action figures, their 6-scale figures, I didn't think they were going to drop them past 30%. They're down to like 40 and 50% off now, which is interesting. I'm going to wait and see if they go down even further, because even though they've dropped the price, a lot of those figures have not sold and the statues have not sold, because they're still, most of them, $50 to $100. I wish I would have waited, because I did buy a couple of them when they were stuck at 30% for about 2 or 3 weeks. But now the price of those figures has dropped below the suggested retail price and below what you can buy them for on eBay. So I'm thinking that now would be a good time to, or in a couple of weeks, start buying up some of these action figures and statues and whatnot, because you're going to make at least 20% if you sell them on eBay, even with shipping. So that's another interesting thing that I noticed about Hastings. So if there's a Hastings in your area, now might be a time to actually make some money off Hastings, trying to make some money off of their going out of business sale. Just something I noticed, because I was tracking this stuff months ago when they first announced it, and I was looking to buy these things, and I was like, well, is it cheaper to buy on eBay, or is it cheaper to buy when these things drop in price? And now it's certainly cheaper to buy on at Hastings, but you could certainly make turn them around and make some money on eBay. There's one that I really have my eye on, because, and I don't want to say anything because I know Brad Will is probably listening or watching, and I don't want him to go and buy it, but there's one that's on sale that, if I buy it, and this is, you know, this is horrible, but if I buy it, I know within about a year or two, this particular thing will probably quadruple in price. I can't say anything more about it, but I'm sure that it will quadruple in price in about a year. So there's some speculation that's going on, but it's horrible speculation, and I don't want to make money off someone else's tragedy. So let's see. No Hastings in Britain that I'm aware of. No, Hastings is kind of like a media play, which you probably also don't have in Britain. But Hastings is a chain of stores in the central part of the United States, basically from Texas up to, I think, like South Dakota, and at least as far away as Denver to the Kansas City area, about 175 stores in that region. And they cater to mid-sized to small-sized towns like what we have. And it's basically your books and games and music and electronics and all that kind of stuff all mixed into one. So if you're kind of familiar with a media play or what would be another one, there are other company that they had under them was kind of like a Suncoast Video kind of place. That might be another one to kind of compare them to. But yeah, just kind of a general store of books and magazines, comics, etc. So hello, who is this on the phone line?
Hey Steven, it's Bill Schweiger. How you doing?
Hey Bill, what's going on, man?
Oh, I snuck out of work a little early.
Well, thank it's you Friday, you should, right?
Absolutely. So I'm out walking my dog before I get my daughter from school. So if you hear barking, I am not turning into a werewolf. It is just my 100-pound dog.
Ooh, what kind of dog is it? 100 pounds.
He is that is a tail. He was supposed to be a lab mixed with a golden retriever. He's about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But as he got bigger and bigger and boxier and boxier and droolier and droolier. Uh-huh. And I believe he is half Newfoundland, which is a bit more than we had bargained for.
Yeah. I don't know if you listen to Adam Carolla, but he's also got, it sounds like a dog that's kind of like yours, where he didn't think the dog was going to get this big. The dog's not even a year old yet, and it's a lab mix, and it's already 114 pounds.
Oh, it's, so they said the dog is mixed with a golden, we think. But you're going to, you know, but he's a big, lovable dummy. I love him. But yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah. Wow. So what, besides walking the dog, what else is going on? Has your new book dropped yet?
No, not yet. I am wrapping up the first draft. I hope to have it done within the next month so that I can begin, you know, the wonderful editing process. Mm-hmm. And I have to turn it into Random House on, December 1st. And I think they want to do something. I think they want to have it ready by July.
Oh, cool.
Of next year.
Now,
but I did get some. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Do you do your own editing, or do you pay someone else to edit your manuscript for you?
I do my own editing, and then, of course, I send it through the wife. And I have a friend who does it. So I try and get it as cleaned up as possible before I send it to my editor at Random right. House, who then, you know, takes a hack at it as well. So
cool. Well, I have been doing a lot of research stuff and gathering all my research material, and I think on November 1... I'm going to try the...
NaNoWriMo!
Yeah, yeah. What is it called?
National Novel Writing Month. NaNoWriMo. Yes.
That is what I'm going to try to do.
That's tremendous. I'm more of a tortoise than a hare, so I get 50,000 words, but it's more like NaNoWriMo for me. It's got to be about a year.
Well,
what are you going to write?
I can't tell you yet, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But it's a detective genre piece. And if people have kind of looked over at the VIP site, they've kind of maybe gotten some hints here and there, because I have posted some of my research in different forms over there. Yeah, I think I'm just going to pull the trigger and I'm going to be able to crank it out in a month. And I know I can do, you know, easily 5,000 words a day. That's not a problem. So I think I'm going to be going to try it and see what happens.
Well, from what I gather, you don't sleep anyway.
I'm getting older, so I go to sleep a little earlier now. Instead of 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's more like 11:30, 12:30.
Oh, my God. I was up until 1 writing. My wife's away on a business trip, so I was up until 1 last night, and it hurts me the next day.
Yeah.
So would you try to... have it published? Is that the goal?
The goal is to have it, yes, to have it produced in some way that people will see or hear or read. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I love detective fiction, and I will be first in line. And
all right.
I think as you know, you know, everybody's looking to make sure people have social media followings and mm-hmm. stuff. And come on, you've got the Major Spoilers Empire, so
yeah.
You've got a built-in audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So
definitely.
I think that would be attractive to agents and publishers.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the toughest thing, and this is something that I know I've talked about, and we talked a little bit about it this week on Zach on Film, is how technology has ruined the detective genre. Just because the things that, you know, a detective used to be able to rely on, walking, driving, you know, actual eyeballs on the subject kind of type stuff, have all been replaced with electronic surveillance stuff.
I completely agree.
You know, if you look at the stuff that I've done, if you look and see what was happening in like the 1860s, like when Lincoln, this assassination attempt that they were trying to do on Lincoln and the Pinkertons found out about it. That was done because someone's like, we know Lincoln's going to be here in about a month or two. Why don't we just send some people in to scout around? And those people are going to have to scout around for a week and just kind of listen and interact with ne'er-do-wells and stuff and, you know, suss stuff out by talking to people and then come back to Washington to warn the president and then come up with this elaborate plot to get him out of, I think it was Baltimore or Boston. I forget which one. But then when you look at the 1920s and 30s, of course, you have a telephone and you have a typewriter and a car to help follow a lot of these things. But, you know, if you have to rush to a telephone somewhere in a restaurant, that's a lot different than just picking up your cell phone and saying, oh, darn, my battery is dead.
I know. It's tricky. So for my books, it's like, okay, well, they take place in our world, so the mm-hmm. very first thing I have to do is separate my characters from their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's usually, you know, I think in the first book, one of the characters, you know, is in a drain pipe, and her phone gets shattered. And, you know, so I'm always, they always bring them, they're always fully charged, but I have to dispense with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Some way.
But see, then even that's going to be, that's even going to be harder, right? Because, you know, cell phones now, you know, Apple is touting the Gorilla Glass and how it's really hard to break the screen. And now the cell phones are getting more waterproof and dustproof. So it's going to be harder and harder and harder for the thing to drop into an open, you know, pool of water or puddle of water and boom, there it's done. So it becomes much more of a challenge to remove that technology.
It really becomes a tough plot point. And somebody on one of the podcasts this week mentioned Sherlock. And what I like about Sherlock is that they actually do a pretty great job of incorporating the technology. Like they don't shy away from it and they're very clever about it. Instead of topping out like I do and sort of taking it off the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So what else do you have going on?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Baltimore Comic Con.
Oh, excellent. How was that?
It was a lot of fun. I took my daughter, my niece, and my nephew as my shields so I could, you know, use them as an excuse to go.
Yeah.
And I got to, you know, Mark Waid was there. So, you know, it went up. We've been reading Archie. Mm-hmm. My daughter loves it, and I love it. It's amazing. And so I got to fanboy out on Mark Waid for a little bit.
Excellent.
Like pushing my daughter up. This is my daughter. She loves your stuff, and so do I. you know, so that was pretty fun. And I'm actually going to be at New York Comic Con
next weekend.
Signing next month.
Oh, next month. Okay. And you're going to be signing your book there?
I'm going to be signing books, and there's going to be a couple of Random House events, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds really cool. So if people are going to the New York Comic Con and want to see you, where will they be able to see you? Just at the look for the Random House book booth?
There's one of their imprints, Del Rey Books. I think it's booth 2110.
Okay.
But yeah, they've got a big booth. It's pretty great. And so I'll be there on Friday from 11 to 12. And then there's an author event. I'll put it all up on my website. But I just got those details today. So
excellent.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Well, tell people what your website is so they can find you.
Oh, BillSchweigert.com, and you're not going to find that by spelling it, because Schweigert's a mouthful. But, you know, if you type Beast of Barcroft, you can get the spelling of my name, and you'll stumble on it.
So it's easy for me to spell, because like Schweigert is also an SCH name. So SCHWEIGART. The only thing a little bit more German would if it would have been an RDT, but
very true.
The RT will work there as well. So you can go and find the books, Beast of Barcroft and Northwoods, and there will be space on that shelf for book number 4 coming next year, I guess.
And I, thanks to the Major Spoilers podcast and exposing me to Lovecraft, it'll be a little bit of my take on Lovecraft.
Ooh,
so
can't wait for that. That'll be exciting.
I know that's your sweet spot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Can't wait for that. Anything else, Bill?
No. Have a great weekend.
All right, take care. Oh yeah. We played recording, you know, this is talking about things that are coming up months and months and months from now. We recorded on Monday us playing Eldritch Horror, which is the board game from Fantasy Flight. And it's not Arkham Horror, and it's not Elder Sign, but it is the one where you're traveling all over the world. It's a fun game. It's super frustrating. It's a super frustrating game because you don't expect to win. But we were recording that video, so it'll be a video episode that I think comes out, I want to say, in late December. It's like towards the end of the year. We have recorded all of the... Now we have officially recorded all of the Munchkinland episodes for the rest of the year. So we're going to take a couple of weeks and do some other things that should be kind of fun. But we started, Brad Will showed up at 7:30 to start setting up, and we finally got it set up about 8:15, and we started recording, and that game lasted until 1:30 in the morning. So it was a long, and it will be a long episode once it's all put together, but I think you'll like it. And I think people are responding well to the Video Munchkin Lands that we're doing that you can find right here on this YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. If you're listening to the audio feed, you should be checking out all the cool things that are going on in the comment section, all the visuals that were popping up and all that stuff. Go to youtube.com/Major Spoilers. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you know when everything is ready to go. Oh, yeah, there's Dr. Bradwell. Oh, that's John is in the chat, too. So he was there manning everything. And I have these cards that I have for our cameras, and I shoot everything in 4K. It's probably not going to focus. I shoot everything in 4K so that I can do some reframing and zooming in on the video without it degrading. It's just, you know, something everyone's doing. People who shoot in 5K and doing it for 4K, they do the same thing, 8K, same thing, etc. But we're shooting everything in 4K, and I was recording on these 128 gigabyte, 1,000 times speed Lexar cards. And these are super expensive cards. I mean, they're a couple of hundred bucks a piece. Because you have to have that fast read-write speed to get 4K video onto the camera. I was getting so nervous towards the end of the game because I thought we were going to run out of space, and it would literally have taken 2.5 hours to transfer the data off of these cards. When we were finished with the game and we were putting everything away, I was like, Brad, I'm just going to go check one of these cards, make sure everything got on there. We had literally 5 gigabytes of space left, which would have been about another, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes tops. So we were pushing, filling up these cards when we recorded that game. But the end result is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for you guys to see it when it releases later in December of this year. Let's go to the phone lines. I do believe it is the great Nate O on the line.
Good afternoon, sir. Yes.
How are you?
How is everything?
Good.
I'm exhausted.
Why are you exhausted? It must have been a heck of a couple of weeks. I mean, you had a tropical depression spawn right over you.
Actually, it was north of me. Actually, someone was coming down on Tuesday to help me out at one of my sites, and they had to stop their travels because it's, hey, look, tropical storm. So
what? Why are you so worn out this week?
Well, between driving back and forth between a couple of sites this week, a flat tire.
Oh yeah, I saw you got screwed on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, literally. And then. We're actually in training for tournament for next weekend. So,
oh, for your
Taekwondo stuff.
Yeah, Taekwondo. I keep wanting to say karate, but that's not right. And I know it's not Aikido because Aikido, you're not breaking boards and people's necks and stuff.
No, not yet.
yet.
It's just been exhausting. So just ramping up, trying to get getting the tournament ready, so to mm-hmm. speak. So.
Well,
tonight we're actually doing combat weapon training. So.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun. So what are the weapons that you're training with? Do you use like size or bow staff, or what do you use?
Well, the tournament, you can actually do a whole bunch of stuff. So, but it's not like against someone. It's more of a form. So
right.
Just like movement and different mm-hmm. things. But each, now that I'm a black belt, a weapon has a specific movement form that you have to do. So I may do the Sanjibon, which are the nunchucks. I don't know. I'm pretty bad at those, but I know my instructor and I were going up to a national tournament in October. We're not competing. We're just going up for some training, and I'm going to actually, don't know the actual name of it, but in Korean, but it's basically like a ninja sword samurai sword type mm-hmm. thing. So I'll be training in that.
Cool.
And they're going to be training in the size, so which are pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, when they start spinning those and flipping them around. I've seen, was it you that sent me a video about this time last year of one of the tournaments where the girl was with the sword and she was doing all of her form stuff with that?
I was super impressed.
This girl was like, I don't know, she looked like she was 10. And was just whipping this thing around and was super impressive.
Yeah, there's the normal stuff like I compete in, then there's the extreme stuff where mm-hmm. they're like doing backflips and side flips and yeah. upflips and with swords and everything. And there's some of these kids that are like literally 13, 14 years old that are doing backflips with bow staffs and fong knots, which are kind of, they look like a ice pick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Type thing. It's insane. So it's really, really neat seeing these kids. And then you have people that are doing the double Sanjibans and then the double Bomangi, which are kind of like a stick.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little stick with a handle on it, mm-hmm, which is basically mm-hmm. what we do with our combat weapons is they're basically big foam sticks that we hit each other with. So.
Oh, cool. Well, safety first, right?
Oh, safety first, yeah. Yeah. We're all geared up.
Well, that's good, too. Anything else that's going on or anything else you want to talk about today?
The only thing I was going to say too is like next week is also after I do the tournament, actually PomCon starts next week too. So I'll be taking pictures for that.
Excellent. Well,
should be pretty cool.
Share them and I will share them too.
Yeah, it's always a fun time, good family fun. So then, I was really interested with the Doctor Who stuff that they're going to be doing, that they have all the audio stuff, mm-hmm. and then they're going to animate all that.
Right. So for people who don't know, the Patrick Troughton Doctor Who, a lot of those episodes are lost because they were either bulk erased or just thrown in the trash or whatever. The audio portions of that exist because either people were holding them up to the TVs and recording them, or they had a reel-to-reel or something of that. So the audio tracks for those episodes exist. And so what BBC has done is they've gone in and taken still photographs that they had, and they are creating a whole animated series of Power of the Daleks. And it will debut November 12th, which is a Saturday, I believe, on BBC and BBC America. So everyone's going to have a chance to at least see what Power of the Daleks was about, even though it's not going to have the live action. It's still going to have all the voices from all the actors who were doing those roles back then.
It's amazing. I'm very excited about that because, I mean, I remember seeing some of that stuff when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I was younger.
Right.
And I watched it. It was fun, but I don't know if it was a third Doctor or four. Well, of course, it probably wasn't because none of that stuff probably was all gone back then, too. But yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about that stuff, too. And the other thing, too, is, I, for some weird reason, and you know, I've had a PS4 for a few years now, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that you could actually watch YouTube on it. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, well, I tweeted out, I was watching, was catching up on some of the Munchkin Lands.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched finished watching the King of Tokyo.
Right.
That Rob one. And then the other one you guys were doing with... The print and play one mm-hmm. from Steve Jackson Games, which was a neat little game too. Yeah.
No, that one's not Steve Jackson Games. That is Sandy. Sandy Peterson.
Oh, Sandy Peterson. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Sandy Peterson. Yep.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and now you can sit down and watch King of New York, which we just released on Monday. So.
Cool. Yeah, my podcast feed, like I said, I've been so busy. I was like, oh, no new Munchkin Land. I'm like, oh, I bet you there's a video. But I was like, I don't have time for that.
I should probably put out a real short audio, you know, message anytime that there's a video feed that just says, hey, everyone, this week, go over to youtube.com/majorspoilers to check out this week's game. I should do that, but oh, well. But hey, there's one nice thing that's happened, though, is with Libsyn, who we host all of our audio podcasts with, they have now turned on the ability for us to have a show automatically posted to YouTube with tags and everything. So if you've noticed suddenly that there were a flurries of our podcast episodes suddenly showing up on our YouTube channel, it's because Libsyn has turned that on. Now, I haven't talked to our guy, Rob Walsh, who's the, I think he's the senior VP of something at Libsyn. But I need to double check with him and see if people watching the YouTube channel, if those get counted towards our audio feeds or not. But I can just go in now, hit a button, and it'll upload everything. And then I can certainly go back in and add in new art and different tags and turn on monetization and all that stuff. But it is certainly a huge step for Libsyn to do that for their customers. So you will be able to see or at least listen to a lot of stuff through YouTube now.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, because like I was doing laundry or doing something, and I was, for some stupid reason, I'm like, oh, I really don't have anything to listen to or watch on TV. So I kind of, because I'm in that like 2 week period now that everything's starting to come back, you know, mm-hmm. next week everything starts back up.
Right.
And yes, I am going to take MacGyver and watch at least the first three episodes.
I will try to watch at least the first episode.
it was football. I was watching football, and as I came on, I'm like, what? Yeah. I didn't even know that they were remaking it. I'm like, who's this? No.
Yeah, it looks really bad. I mean, we have the trailer of major spoilers. It looks horrible. But maybe for an 80s nostalgia factor, it might be worth checking out.
But the thing is, it doesn't even feel like it. It just feels like a modern, just, hey, I'm a cool kid and smart and whatever. Yeah. And he feels too full of himself, and that's not mm-hmm. who he was. It was just, he was this very low key, very quiet, very, mm-hmm.
Well, a pacifist. He was also a pacifist. That was the other thing.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So it'll be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, and he's like, Mac, just leave me alone, man.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's kind of like, it kind of feels like, if you remember the original Hawaii 5-0, that was a pretty interesting show. And then when they remade it for CBS a couple of years ago, it felt not like Hawaii 5-0. It just felt like another police procedural with the Hawaii 5-0 name slapped on it. And I have a feeling that's what this MacGyver is going to feel like too, is just a poor attempt to recapture an older audience that still watches regular broadcast television.
Yeah. Is your physics teacher still around? So I'm sure he'll be.
Pretty sure he is still alive. I know he's retired. I know he's retired. I haven't heard anything that he's passed away. They just live down the road from my parents. So, I think he's still alive.
I heard that on one of the podcasts you mentioned, and I can't remember which one you were talking about.
Yeah.
Your physics teacher basically saying, it's like, no, that doesn't work that way.
But the nice thing about that, so people hadn't heard the story, is when MacGyver first came on, I was so enthralled by it because it was so cool.
Oh,
I would go in into my science class and start talking about it, and our physics teacher would just roll his eyes, and he thought it was the worst show ever. But it always led to conversations about, well, here's what he's trying to do, and then he would use science to show why these things wouldn't work. And in the process, we were learning about, there's I think it was one of the very first episodes of MacGyver. He's taking all of these raincoats and he's sealing them together and creating a hot air balloon that he can escape. And, we talk about, well, here's how hot air balloons work, and here's how much air you would need to fill up this balloon, and here's how much heat you would need, and he's using whatever he was using at the time, and it was just like, you're right, the material is too heavy, there's not enough heat to heat up the air, he would barely be getting off the ground, so therefore fail. But at the same time, we were learning all about this stuff about science, so it was very, very cool in a way. It's kind of like people who use television shows to get students into discussions about literature, like Game of Thrones or that kind of stuff. So very interesting.
Yeah, so it's already set on my DVR, so I figure, give it a few weeks and see really how bad it is. But other than that, I'm just getting ready for the end of September, beginning of October, a lot of TV getting ready to get going. So.
Flash podcast is coming back October probably 5th or 6th, so people will be on the lookout for that. And, of course, you're a Patreon member, and it should just appear. If you haven't already subscribed, you should have gotten an email that said, hey, the RSS feed is turned on. Here, you just click to subscribe or whatever, or copy the URL or whatever, and then you can put it into your favorite podcast player. And when these episodes start releasing, they'll just right appear in your feed.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Have a great weekend, man.
You too, sir. Thank you.
Get some rest. Bye. All right. It's so nice to hear from everyone this week. And, man, it's been a couple of weeks, but it's always good to talk with you, to see what's going on. Let's see. Are the Finally Friday videos no longer being posted? Last one I found was May of 2016. Yeah, they should be there. You know what's probably happening is you are probably looking in, and this is me being bad, but if you're looking on the YouTube channel and you're looking under playlists, my guess is that you're right that the Finally Friday videos, where are they at? Down here. Don't want to play all, but... May 20th, Supergirl in Riverdale. So what's happened is those videos are there. If you go under all videos, let's flip to the wider shot. There you go. I just have not, I've been bad at adding them to the playlist. So what I will do is later tonight, while things are processing, while I'm doing the critical hit stuff, I will go in and I will add all of these, Finally Fridays into the playlist, and then you'll have access to all of them. There's a lot of stuff in there. Look at all that stuff that we got. Critical Hit, Lego Builds, Finally Friday, We've got other things, Munchkin Land. Oh, there's so much stuff going on our YouTube channel. You will want to subscribe to that, because when you subscribe, you should get a little push notification that says, hey, new video has been posted over at the Major Spoilers Video YouTube channel. Go check it out, and then you will be up to date on everything that's going on. We will be here next week for Finally Friday, because we're here for a couple of weeks, and that is always good. But for right now, we will be leaving because it's the end of the week, and I've got to go pick up kids from school because they're chomping at the bit. We got another soccer tournament this weekend. Thankfully, it's here. Hopefully, they will win the tournament. We will find out, and I'll let you know how that goes next week. They play 3 games over 2 days, and I'm hoping that they win this tournament, home tournament, so we'll see. Thank you, everyone, for being a Major Spoilers VIP or Patreon member, for those of you who are. If you're not, please consider. We could really use your help in making sure that we are able to keep things going. Going, right? I want you to have a great, wonderful weekend. Do something fun and exciting, but safe. Be safe. Always be safe. Also, be kind to one another. And until next week, when it's finally Friday, take care.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.